Today's shiur is Masechta Chulin Daf Ayin Beis, and we will begin on Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Beis, 9 lines from the bottom, Amar Rava. In our previous shiur, based on the halacha that we had learned in the Mishnah, Rava said that both Tahara Belua and Tumah Belua are not factors in Hukkas Tumah. And to quickly review, as we learned in the previous shiur, what that means is that if somebody has tumah in his body, the case that we in fact learned in the Mishnah as well, that tumah does not have the ability to transmute tumah further. And therefore, as the Mishnah said, a woman who Rahmana Slan is carrying a dead fetus, which is typically matama, that dead fetus does not have the ability to spread tumah further because it's belua. Furthermore, we learned the halacha about tahara belua. Tahara belua means that if this tahara inside a concealed area, inside a person, for example, the halacha is that that tahara, that item that's tar, doesn't become tameh. Says Rava, Amar Rava, so Rava says to Rava, Tavaya Tanina, you began saying yesterday that as if this is your chiddush about Tahara Belua and about Tumah Belua. And Rava challenges Rava by quoting in a moment a Mishnah, Masechta Mikvos, that clearly teaches us that there is no problem of Tahara Belua and the Tahara Belua, that teaches us the halakhs of Tahara Belua and Tumah Belua. That's the way Pashut Pshat the Gemara is. There are some Rishayim that suggest that the Gemara's question is not from Tumah Belua, because it was never Rabbi's intent to teach us a chiddush regarding Tumah Belua. For as I said a moment ago, our Mishnah already clearly indicates that that's the case, because our Mishnah taught us, as I said, that a woman carrying Rachman Tzlan, a dead fetus, doesn't become Tumah. The question that the Gemara is focused on is on the Tumah Belua, that in the Tahara Belua, that it seems that it's Rabbi that's telling us the Chiddush of Tahara Belua, and the Gemara asks that Chiddush of Tahara Belua we already learned from a Mishnah Masechta Mikvos. In fact, the Mefarshim point out further that the Halacha of Tumah Belua, the Gemara, which the Gemara now is going to quote a Mishnah in Masechta Mikvos, really should not have been mentioned by the Gemara at all. Again, because as I just said, the halacha of Tumah Belua is very evident from our Mishnah. And the only reason they say that the Mishnah quotes the Gemara, quotes the Mishnah Masechta Mikvos, that teaches us the halacha of Tumah Belua, is only because it wants to speak about Tahara Belua, which we need to quote the Mishnah Masechta Mikvos. However, there are Mefarshim that suggest that it was very specific and deliberate that our Gemara even quotes the Mishnah Masechta Mikvos to teach us the halacha of Tumah Belua and does not rely on what we've learned in our Mishnah. For they explain, our Mishnah, when it speaks about Tumah Belua, speaks about an uber, about a fetus in its mother's womb. A fetus in its mother's womb is where it always was, and therefore that's where it was from when it was conceived. And perhaps that's where we learned that's a unique situation of Tumah Belua. But there is no raya that so too will be the halacha by something that came from out externally. The Mishnah Masechta Mikvos proves that we say the concept of Tumah Belua even by a ring, which obviously did not begin in the body of the person. So quotes the Gemara those Mishnayos. Tumah Belua, the Tanan. Bola Tabas Tameya, if somebody swallowed a Tumah ring, and the ring became Tumah, as Rishon explained, because it came in contact with a mace. And we know the halacha is Cherev Harehu Kucholo, anything made out of metal that comes in contact with a mace becomes Tumah. The halacha is Toivav Oichel Trumasai. As soon as he Toivav, he could eat Truma. Machlokes Rishonim, how to understand this line of the Mishnah. Some Rishonim suggest that if we just said that he's Tamei Meis, and we know that a Tamei Meis it's not just enough that he should go to the mikvah. For a tamei mace also has to have hazor shlishi v'shvi. He has to have sprinkling of the Torah Duma on him on the third and seventh day of his purification. And therefore they explain what the Gemara here means. Here is toivel, that is toivel after he had hazor shlishi v'shvi. That's how some Rishonim explain. Other Rishonim explain that even though, as I just said a moment ago, the halacha is cherev harev kucholo, that is, and that a metal that comes in contact with a mace is considered tamei, that isn't to the degree, say the mefarshim, that it would require hazor shlishi v'shvi, and it would be enough just to go to the mikvah. And that's what the Gemara here means. They swallow this tamei de gerin, he goes to the mikvah and he may eat truma. Hikia, if he expels that ring, and that ring remained tamei, that loch is tamei, it never became tamei, it never became tar, because since the person, when he went to the mikvah, the ring was in the person's body, so obviously a ring in a person's body doesn't become tar, it's not exposed to the mikvah. The timasan, as it goes out of the body, the halacha is that the person becomes tamei again. Tarablur, on the other hand, Tanina, says the Gemara, the halacha of Tarablur we've also learned in the Mishnah, because it's not the Mishnah says, Bolotvas Tahariv and Nifnas Oil Amaze, if somebody swallowed a tar ring and entered the Oil Amaze, but he's a Vishana Vitavel, and the person went to the, did the entire purification process, Hazar Shlishi Vishvi and Tfila, Vikia, and then he expelled the ring, Harei Kamasha Hesa. The ring is tar like it was at the beginning. If the ring had become tar, then the halak, tamei, then as we said a moment ago, the ring never became tar by him going to the mikvah. It must be, since the ring was inside the body when he became tamei, that ring therefore never became tamei. So the Gemara's question therefore is that what is Rabbi telling us, the halacha of tuma belua and tara belua? It's a mish. These are open halachas that are taught to us in the Mishnah in Masechta Mikvos. Answers the Gemara, indeed. To teach us the basic premise of tara belua and tuma belua, we do not need Rabbah's statement. Ki kama Rabbah, what was Rabbah speaking about? Ki gan shabal shtei tabos. It's referring to a situation where the person swallowed two rings. Ach is tamei v'ach is tara. One ring is tamei and one ring is tar. And the chiddush that Rabbah is teaching us is that these two rings that are on the person's body that touch each other, still, l'metam v'tamei l'tahara, the tamei digarin is not metamei, the tar digarin, even though they're touching inside the body, the reason being, because of the concept of tuma belua. Of course, Rashi asked the question, why is the person not tame tumas masa, that he's carrying a tame ring? And Allah is that masa also makes a person tame. So Rashi explains that the halacha, this is Rashi's approach to the Gemara, that the halacha of tumas masa only applies by something which is inherently tame. A ring is like a sheretz. A ring is not inherently tamei. The ring became tamei because it was in contact with a mace. And since it's not inherently tamei, therefore there is no tumas masa. Furthermore, the Mefarshim ask a very fundamental question. Rabba, as we learned in the previous year, proved why tuma belua is not tamei based on the din that he quoted. The pasuk says if somebody eats a nevela and he goes to the mikvah right afterwards, even though the nevela is still whole in his body, Rava proved in the previous shir why tahara belua, what halacha is tahara belua based on a limud from the kli cheres that's sealed with a tzamid pasul. But Rava actually never spoke about the case that the Gemara now is saying is Rava's entire rule. That the Gemara now is saying the Rabbi really speaks about where the Tumah Balu and the Tara Balu touch each other. Where did Rabbi say it? And where, in fact, does it come from that the Halach is that it's indeed Tahar? So in answer to where it comes from that it's Tahar, I saw the Rishonim say a very nice pshat. As we just said a second ago, if somebody eats a Nevela, so the Halach is, he becomes Tameh, he goes to the mikveh and he has Heref Shemesh. So as we discussed in the previous year, let's say Shki is at 7 o'clock, and the person ate this Nevela 10 to 7, goes to the mikveh immediately, has Heref Shemesh, and now what? Not Halach is that not only is he Tahor, but if he's a Kayin, he's allowed to eat Truma. Now that Truma that enters his body is touching that piece of the veil, and as we discussed in the previous year, we're referring to a piece of the veil that's whole, and they're touching inside his body. Yet the Torah Gedoisha teaches us that the Kayin may eat the Truma under these circumstances. Why? It must be because Tumma Balua and Tara Balua are not a factor. Now we could also understand what Rabbi meant when he says Kishen. When Rabbi said the word Kishen, he's not talking regarding the rings or the item. He's talking about the person. Kishen, that this person that has in him the Tumma Balua and the Tara Balua, one is not Metame the other. Ask the Gemara if that's the rule, that Tumma Balua and Tara Balua don't spread Tumim one to the other. So let's go back to the case of our Mishnah. The case of our Mishnah was an Uber Vechaya, where a woman, you have the woman carrying the dead fetus, and the midwife, the Chaya, is touching it. The Kshtei the Bastami, she's only touching it by putting her hand inside the womb of the mother. And yet our Mishnah said, Kamatamalei Uber Vechaya. Why? This is a case of Tumim Balua and Tara Balua. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rava, you can't bring a raya from our Mishnah, because Shani Uber Hayav Seifalotzeis. An Uber is going to be expelled from the body, and therefore it's not considered a regular case of Tumma Balua. Amar Rava, ask Rava, if you're saying that anything that's going to be expelled from the body is not in the category of Tumma Balua, so Uber Seifalotzeis is only the fetus going to leave the body? Tabas ain't Seifalotzeis. The ring doesn't go out of the body. So the Gemara is asking, we don't understand Rabbi's distinction. Why is there a difference between the ring and the Uber? And in fact, the Achroinim try to understand why was Rabbi's Havamina that he wanted to make a difference between the ring and the Uber. So I saw two explanations in the Achroinim how to try to explain Rabbi that did want to make a difference, distinction between the Uber and the ring. One is that the Uber, that a woman should be pregnant and carry a fetus, is normal. That a woman should be have a ring in her body, that somebody should have a ring in her body, is not part of the normal way things are. And that's why Rabbi thought that they should be treated differently. That's one approach that I saw. Another approach that I saw is, Rachman al-Slan, let's say someone passes away, a woman passes away, and she had a dead fetus in her body. So there are those that suggest that the halacha is that the fetus should be removed from the woman's body. But let's say someone passes away and there's a ring in his body. The halacha is that we don't take the ring out. We're not allowed to take out the ring, because taking out the ring involves nivel hames. And that's why Rabbi wanted to make a difference between the Uber and the ring. The Rava challenges him still that they're both going to leave the body. So that can't be the difference. El Amar Rava, says Rava, Pumbedisa Yadai Tam Dham Milsa. The Pumbedisa could explain our Mishnah. Who are the Pumbedisa? Rav Yosef. Dom Rav Yosef, Om Rav Yehuda Mishmu. Tumazu Enem Divri Torah Elam Divri Seifrim. That the Tumma that our Mishnah says, where the Chaya touches the dead Uber in the woman's body, is only Midrabon. Ask the Gemara, my Enem Divri Torah Elam Divri Seifrim. And as the Mepharshim explained, what the Gemara is focused on is we can understand that the Gemara should say Tumma Zuba Divrei Seifrim, that Chazal made a Tumma, and we'll explain soon why Chazal felt that a Tumma should be in the, it should be instituted here. But what is the Gemara, what does the Pumbedisa have to say, ask the Gemara, these introductory remarks, Eina B'divrei Torah. What's Pumbedisa trying to say with that? Answers the Gemara, the Loi Tema. What the Pumbedisa are trying to say is as follows. Don't say, and first we're going to explain the Gemara as Rashi explained the Gemara. Don't say that our Mishnah is following the lead of Rabbi Akiva, the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, Domer Uber B'mei Isha Tameh, that doesn't hold of the rule that Tumah B'lu is not Metameh. He holds that Tumah B'lu is Metameh. And therefore the rule of our Mishnah is very understandable. Ella, Afila Rabbi Shmuel Domer Uber B'mei Isha Tar. Even Rabbi Shmuel, who does subscribe to the concept that Tumah B'lua is not Metameh, goes about Tumah Medrabonon. There's a special Gzeira Drabonon that Chazal said that we should make, that the Chaya should, in our Mishnah, should become Tameh. So again, the way we explain the Gemara, the Machloikus of Shmuel Rabbi Akiva, is that according to Rabbi Akiva, Tumah B'lua is Metameh. According to Rabbi Shmuel, it's not Metameh. But there are many other explanations in the Rishonim how to understand the Gemara. Tosfos says that the machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel is strictly in a situation where the uber stuck out his hand. He didn't stick out his head, as we'll see in a moment, but he stuck out his hand. According to Rabbi Akiva, that means everybody agrees if it was a pure Tumah B'lua, it's not Metameh. The machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva is if the uber stuck out its hand. According to Rabbi Akiva, it is Metameh, Medaraisa. According to Rabbi Shmuel, it's not Metameh, but it's Gzeir Drabon. The Baal Hamor says a different explanation. The Baal Hamor says that it could well be that everybody agrees that Tumah B'lua is not Metameh. The Machloikis between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva is strictly by two rings. Because Rabbi Akiva says that when do we say that Tumah B'lua is not Metameh? Only when we have only one item of Tumah. But when we have the Tumah B'lua and the Tumah Tahara next to each other, there Rabbi Akiva says we don't have the heter of Tumah B'lua. And Rabbi Shmuel says we do. The Rash, Seir Machloikis is in a case where a woman's womb opened without the child yet coming out. Rabbi Akiva says we no longer have the heter of Tumah B'lua in that case. Rabbi Shmuel says we do. The Ramban says a different explanation. The Ramban says that everybody agrees to the concept of Tumah B'lua. The question here is an uber considered Tumah B'lua? Rabbi Akiva says that since that's where the uber is conceived and lives, that's not a regular case of Tumah B'lua. Only a ring would be considered a situation of Tumah B'lua. And Rabbi Shmuel says that even a uber is considered Tumah B'lua. So again, but we're going to explain the Gemara like Rashi, that the machlokes between Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel is, do we subscribe to the concept of Tumah B'lua? Rabbi Akiva does not subscribe to the concept of Tumah B'lua, and that's why the rule of our Mishnah is very understandable. Rabbi Shmuel holds that Tumah B'lua is not Metameh, and the reason why the Chaya in our Mishnah is Tameh is because of a special Gzeira. And what is the Gzeira Metameh on Rabbi Oshia? Gzeira Shemiyotzi Vlad Rosh Chutz LaPraizda. We're concerned that maybe this child had emerged. And if the child's head emerged, then the child is considered born. And then, if she touches the child who's dead, Rachman Utslan, then she becomes Tameh. And that's why, because of such a case, Rabbi Shmuel said there should be a special Tumah D'Rabbanan. Ask the Gemara, if that's shot in the Mishnah, we need to be concerned that the child emerged, head emerged, and therefore he's considered a full-fledged mace, that's Metameh, so then that halach ought to be on the Isha Nami. Why does the Mishnah say that only the Chayi, the midwife, who comes in contact with this dead uber becomes tamei. The same halacha should be to the mother. Answers the Gemara, ish mageshes ba'atzma. The woman knows if the head emerged or not. So if the woman realizes the head emerged, she'll know that she came in contact with the uber, she's tamei. And if not, if it didn't emerge, she's tahar. Says the Gemara, if the mother knows, she should tell the chaya to be careful, treat her. So the way the Achron explained the Gemara is as follows. The mother knows, the mother obviously knows, the chaya has no way of knowing. So under normal circumstances, the mother, if she knows that this child's head already came out, and since that head came out, as we've been saying, that's why the person who comes in contact at that point with this body would be tamei, would tell the person coming in contact, be careful, you should know that you'll be tamei if you come in contact. But here we're referring to a woman who's in the middle of labor, and therefore she's treida. She doesn't have the presence of mind to properly warn the chaya, and therefore the Mishnah teaches us we need to be concerned that the head came out. The mother is aware of it, but she's not in the presence of mind to warn the chaya, and that's why Midrabbanan says, Rabbi Shmuel, Chazal said that any chaya that comes in contact with the uber should be at least tamei Midrabbanan. Furthermore, explained the Mefarshim, we can now understand the difference between the din that we learned in this Mishnah on Daf Ayin Aleph and the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Amid Beis, where the Mishnah on Ayin Amid Beis says that the Raya, who is working on the worthy pregnant animal that put its hand into the womb of this pregnant animal, and the animal is dead, does become tamei nevela. Why don't we make a gzeira over there, like we made a gzeira on the chaya? The difference is that by an animal, as we learned earlier in our parak, there is no birth canal. So since there is no birth canal, if the animal, the uber, emerged, it will be obvious to the roya that he emerged, and that if he comes in contact with this uber, this dead animal, this dead fetus, he has tumas nevela. By a person, it's not that obvious, and therefore, because of that concern, as Rabbi Shmuel said, Chazal made a gzeira. So again, following Rashi's pshat, my Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Kiva, what is the basis of the machlokes Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Kiva? The Rabbi Kiva does not hold of the concept of tumah balua, and that doesn't transmit tumah. And Rabbi Kiva holds that tumah balua does not transmit tumah. The Tanya, because the pasuk says v'chol ashiyiga apnei asada, that in order for tumah to go further, it has to be pnei asada, has to be open. L'haytzi uber me'isha, which is in the mother's womb, and doesn't spread tumah. The Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Kiva disagrees, and he says the pasuk is coming to speak about the goyel v'doifik. Machlokes for showing what goyel v'doifik means. Rashi says goyel v'doifik means the cover, the top of a coffin. V'doifik means the sides of a coffin, that they give off tumah. The problem with Rashi's pshat, as the Rishonim, is that this pasuk that's teaching us this thing speaks about apnei hasada, and coffins are not apnei hasada. Coffins are buried on the ground. So to defend Rashi's pshat, the Rishonim say that the reason Rashi calls a coffin apnei hasada is because coffins in those days were typically somewhat elevated from underground, and they were indeed visible. That's Rashi's pshat. Tosfos, however, disagrees. And Tosfos says the definition of goyel v'doifik is the matseva. The goyel of the matseva is the stone that's put on top of the grave, and the doifik are stones that are put at the head and at the foot of that matseva that's on top of the person. Actually, following Rashi's pshat, there is a question. Because if we look in Shulchan Aruch speaks about the concept of stimas ha-goyel, the covering of the putting on the goyel, putting on the goyel. And according to Rashi, the definition of goyel means putting on the cover of the coffin. And the Shulchan Aruch says that as soon as stimas ha-goyel happens, hilchus aveilus begin, a kohen who normally may not come in contact with a mace, if the mace Rachman son is one of his close relatives, may be matama up to only stimas ha-goyel. But as the Mefarshim, The stimas hagoilu means when the coffin is closed. Do we know that the coffin is closed much earlier than the burial? So why, according to Rashi, could a kohen go to the burial, or does avelus not begin as soon as the coffin is closed? So Mefarshim explained that even Rashi will agree that in a case where the coffin is only closed temporarily, and they're going to ultimately take the nifter to burial and open up the coffin, that's not called stimas hagoyel, and the avelus doesn't begin until after the burial. Furthermore, Al Gemara clearly teaches us that the goyel v'doifik, there's a special din of tumah on the goyel v'doifik, and there's a very big machlokes rishonim till when and when are the goyel v'doifik tameh. The pasuk showing the Gemara is that the Torah is teaching us here a new rule, a new tumah, that the coffin is always metama, the goyel v'doifik is always metama. There are others that say that the chiddush here is specifically after the mace is no longer in the coffin. Because if the mace is in the coffin, we don't need the coffin to be tummy because of the coffin. The coffin is tummy because of the mace. The chiddush here is that after the mace is no longer in the coffin, that's when there's a special tumah that begins on the goyel v'doifik. But there are many opinions that hold that if the mace is no longer in the coffin, there is no tumas goyel v'doifik. Actually, the Paiskim say that it could be, it depends on what material the goyel v'doifik are made from. Because we know that halakha is pshute kliyetz, straight pieces of wood are not metama. So if the goyel v'doifik are made out of pieces of wood, and we're careful to disassemble the coffin after the burial, if the person is not buried in the coffin, so then it's pshute kliyetz, and they will not be metama. Ask the Gemara. Rabbi Shmuel, who uses this pasuk to teach us the halacha of tuma belua, where will he know the halacha of goyel v'doifik? He will say goyel v'doifik hilchos of gemira, it's a special halacha from Moshe Mitzrayim. Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, holds indeed uber b'mei isha tame. Tuma belua does spread tuma. Ask the Gemara deraisa v'nolei. And as Mefarshim explained the Gemara, if we look at the wording of the pasuk that the Gemara just quoted, the cholash yiga apnei asada, the pasuk seems to clearly indicate that for tumah to spread, it has to be apnei asada, it has to be open and revealed. So the pasuk clearly seems to be agreeable with Rabbi Shmuel's pshat. If Rabbi Kiva disagrees and he says that the pasuk is teaching us something else altogether, what pushes him to say that? Answers the Gemara, Amr Baishir, could Rabbi Kiva found another pasuk? The pasuk says, Amr Kro, Hanegeya b'meis b'nefesh. Eiz b'neis sh'b'nefesh o'odom. When do we have a mace in another person? Have oimezah ubish v'ima. That's talking about an uber in its mother's womb. And the Torah is teaching us that it still spreads tumma. Clearly says Rabbi Kiva, this pasuk is an indication that we say that tumah belua does spread, and therefore we have to say that the other pasuk of chalash yiga pnei asada is coming to teach us a different rule, so that we keep the din of goyel v'doifik. Rav Shmuel, who doesn't hold of the halacha of tumah belua spreading tumah, what will he do with this pasuk of hanegeh b'meis b'nefesh? Says the ma'ayim b'boyle revius tam habom in a mess. It's coming to teach us that the revius tam of a mace, shmetama, that it gives tumma. Shnema, hanegei b'mace b'nefesh ha'adam, eizen nefesh ha'adam shmetama, what is called the nefesh that gives off tumma, have oim as a reestam. As Mefarshim explained this Gemara. The pasuk says that the nefesh ha'adam is metama. But as we all understand, we can't identify tangibly what is the nefesh ha'adam. We can identify a heart, we can identify a liver. We can't identify the nefesh ha'adam. So the Gemara is saying, it must be, as the pasuk says, ki adam hu ha'nefesh, that the dam is the nefesh. And since go on the Rishonim to say, the Chazal established that a person needs at least to have in him a revius dam to be able to survive. That's one approach I saw in the Rishonim. Another approach I saw in the Rishonim is that a child, a baby that's born, has in it a Revi'i Stam, because again, that's the minimal for survival. So from here we see that a Revi'i Stam of a mace is Matama. But furthermore, says Rabbi Chanan, we know that the Gemara says many places that Shiurim, the amount, the measurements, are Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai. And here our Gemara seems to be saying that the din of Revi'is is a din not based on Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai, but based on a Pasuk. Says Rabbi Chanan, all the Torah teaches us is that the amount, that the dam is the nefesh. And that when the Torah said that the nefesh metameh, it's the dam. The amount of dam that's metameh, that it's a revius, that is indeed actually halach l'mash m'sinai. That's nice that we gave only explaining the halach l'mash m'sinai. Rav Kiva l'tameh, Rav Kiva however disagrees. Because Rav Kiva holds, af v'yistam habom shnei meisim. Even if you have revius dam from two different meisim, combine to be metameh boil. The Tanya Rav Kiva Omer. Menayim Revi'i Stam Abom Shnei Meisim Shmetam Boil Shnemar V'akol Nafshois Meis Loyovoy Shtei Nefoshes. If you have two corpses with Shirach and one Revi'is, you're going to have a tumor. And as the Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin explains, the Machloikis between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva is a Gemara that we learned in Masechet Sanhedrin. Do we say Yesh Ein L'Mikra, or do we say Yesh Ein L'Mesoros? According to Rabbi Shmuel, we learn, according to Rabbi Shmuel, we follow the Mikra. And the Mikra has the word Nafshois spelled without a Vav, which is a Lashon Yochid. And therefore, according to Rabbi Shmuel, only the Revi'is from one mace will be Matama. The Revi'is from two maces will not be Matama. Rabbi Kiva, however, follows not the Ksiv, but Rabbi Kiva follows the Kri, and the Kri is Nafshois Lashon Rabim, and therefore the Pasuk is teaching us that even the Revi'is that came from one, from more than one mace will be Metama Ba'oil. Our Mishnah and the Sugyas that we now begin speak about Hilchas Tuma V'Tahara. And just a few words of Hagdoma. One is that an animal that dies without shechita, as we've learned numerous times, is tumas nevela, and it gives off tuma. It's an ava tuma. It's metama odin v'kelim. People, kelim, foods that come in contact with it, and they become the odin v'kelim that touch a nevela become a rishon v'tuma. Midaraisa, food, a mashkim that come in contact with a nevela don't have the ability to spread tumah vayta. Further, shechita, we learned many times, is metaharis. And therefore, even if you have an animal which is a trefa, if it undergoes shechita, that animal is no longer tumas nevela, even though you may not eat the animal. This tumah of eva menachai, and that means if an aver separated from an animal while it was still alive, and on that aver there's meat and that some is forgiven, it has the din of tumas nevela. Meat that separates from a live animal is not metama midaraisa. A child found in the womb of its mother, as we've learned from the beginning of our perek, becomes the shechita of its mother is effective for the child. Says the Gemara, Behema makasha leilud, v'hoitzi ubas yod v'chatcha. You have here this animal that's in labor, it sticks out its hand, and somebody cuts off the hand, v'achas shachar eskimimai, and you cut off that hand that emerged before the mother emerged, and you cut it before you shech the mother, habasa tahar. Any remaining flesh of that uber is tar because it didn't come in contact with that aver. However, shachres imay, you shecht the mother, and now the mother and the fetus are all considered food. Vaka chotcha, and only after that you cut off this aver, that came out of the body before the Shechita, Habosam Magen Avela Divrei Meir. According to Meir, the meat is that the fetus is considered as if it came in contact with Nevela, and all the halacha that comes in play, as I said a few moments ago, when something touches Nevela. The Chum say it's considered that since this Aver was considered connected to the Uber when the Shechita took place, even though, as we learned earlier in the Perek, we won't be allowed to eat that Aver that came out before the Shechita, it was connected to the Uber, and the Shechita of the mother of the Uber accomplishes that much that it should not be considered a nevela, it should only be considered a treifa. And the Chacham explained their opinion. For they say, Mamatzina b'treifa, just like we see by a treifa, sheshchita metarosa, that a shchita, even though the animal is a treifa, the halacha is that shchita accomplishes that much that it won't give off tumas nevela. Av shchita sa behema, here too, in this case, even though this aver, as I explained, as we learned from the beginning of this parak, will never be allowed to be eaten, it accomplishes that much. Av shchita sa behema tataras aver, it accomplishes that this aver should not have tumas nevela, it should be considered only like a treifa. Interesting question that the Paiskim discuss is that we know that when we shecht an animal, we make a bracha. What is the halacha? Is a bracha made when we shecht a treifa? Because our Gemara is teaching us that there is, our Mishnah is teaching us, a halacha that we mentioned many times, that something very much is accomplished by shechting a treifa, that it's no longer matama. Is that a good enough reason to make a bracha? The question really depends on how do we understand the bracha al shechita. Is it a brichas hashvach or brichas hamitzvus? If it's a brichas hashvach, then we should make a bracha. If it's a brichas hamitzvus and we won't be able to eat it anyway, we shouldn't make a bracha. The halacha is that we don't make a bracha when we shech the treifa. However, there's a very interesting arzarua, which the Ramah quotes that arzarua. Let's say there's an animal which we have a real concern may be a treifa. So he says what we should do is start shechting the animal when, and not make a bracha, because we have to be concerned about a bracha of atala, because maybe this animal is a treifa. But after we're able to determine that the animal is not a treifa, we make the bracha afterwards, which is a chiddush, because normally a bracha is made before the maisa hamitzvah, and here it's made after the maisa hamitzvah. Amalei Rameya. So Rameya says to the Chachamim that, and he disagrees with their position, because he says as follows: Im loy, im te'ara shchita treifa oisai, davishav gufa. You know when shchita is effective on an animal, it's a treifa, when the actual animal was shechting is a treifa. But here we want to say that the shchita should be effective to taras aver, that it should be effective on the aver, dovish and gufa, which is not really part of the animal that's being slaughtered, because we're slaughtering the mother. And we want the shchita should be effective on the effective to the aver that is not part of, that's not the mother. So now the Gemara, so one thing for sure we see, everybody agrees that shchita is effective on a treifa, that it's not matama tumas nevela. The only question is, does that rule even apply on the aver of the uber? Ask the Mishnah, menayin l'treifa sheshchita metarosa, and from where indeed do we know this halacha, that shchita does affect that shechting a treifa, it will not be no longer a nevela? Says the Gemara, tmeya, behemet tmeya sur b'chila, because we could make the following argument. A non-kosher animal may not be eaten, and treifa sur b'chila, and a treifa may not be eaten. Ma behemet tmeya ein shchita metarosa, just like we know certainly that you can't, that shchita wouldn't help on a non-kosher animal, so too suggests the Gemara, shibir halacha, suggests the Mishnah, that af treifa to tarana shchita, the treifa shchita shouldn't affect. Says the Gemara, you can't make a comparison. Loy, says the Mishnah. Ima matam behem tamei, if you say so by behem tamei, slohes lo shasa kosher. A non-kosher animal may never be eaten. Toma betrefa, whereas a trefa, shohes lo shasa kosher. It has a shasa kosher until it became a trefa. Says the Gemara, toach shmei vesa. We could argue on your very concept. Hareshinol the trefa min abetin. What would be an alocha if it was born a trefa, so it didn't have a shasa kosher? Will that, where will we know minayin that the shechita of that trefa, that the shechita of that trefa as well makes it no longer a nevela? Loy. So the Gemara, this is the argument. Imamat behem tmeya, when we speak about non-kosher species, she'em b'mina shechita. There is no shechita, there's no concept of shechita by non-kosher animals. Time of a trefa, whereas a trefa she'esh b'mina shechita. Yes, you have a trefa. And yes, even if you have a trefa, there was a trefa from when it was conceived. But it's part of the kosher species family versus the non-kosher animal that's not in this family altogether. However, the Gemara says, ben shmoyne chai, if you have an 8-month-old fetus that is born alive to a kosher animal, we know that the Gemara assumes that the Gemara says many places that an animal born to 8 months is a nafel, cannot survive, and shechita b'tarosa. Such an animal cannot, shechita will not be effective on, because there's never shechita on this type of animal. It's not in the family, as the Rishayim explained, Rashi says, of bokeh v'tzoyim, because it's not in the family of animals that can ever be eaten, and therefore remains like a non-kosher animal that shechita is not effective on. So our Mishnah, we have Machlokes Rameya and the Chachamim, when we have this aver protruding but still connected to the fetus, and then only after the shechita of the mother does one sever that aver. What will be the din on that aver? Does it have a din of nevela, or does it have a din of trefa? Ask the Gemara, but why should that limb give tumah to the uber? Amai, isn't this a situation of tumah spaces starim, where the limb is connected to an animal under the skin, which it's not visible, and the halacha is the tumah spaces starim lematama. So why is there tumah at all here? Should we suggest, ask the Gemara, lema rameila tamei, that Rameya, that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rameya, the Tanan. The Mishnah teaches us, and a word of Hagdom is applicable. We know that the Torah speaks about a Zav, a Zava, a Nida, a Yuledis, who have a special type of Tumah called Tumas Medus, which means that these people transmit Tumah not only by actually touching something, but by sitting or lying on an object. And even if they're not sitting directly on that object, if they're sitting or lying on something meant to be laid on, the Torah says that those objects become tumah, tumas medris. And actually, tumas medris is a very high level tumah. It becomes an avah tumah. So the Mishnah teaches us, shloisha shloisha nechlet. If we have a piece of material that was 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim, which had on a tumas medris, and then it was divided into 2, tamana medris, and no longer has tumas medris, because in order to have tumas medris, it has to be at least 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim. Our tamana mega medris, it still has tumas mega medris. Why does it have tumas mega medris? Because before the cloth was divided, each piece of the cloth was touching the other piece of the cloth, even though it was a tumas base astarim, it wasn't a visible touching. It's enough to give tumas maga medris. Divrei Rameya. Amar Rav Yosef, v'chi be'ezah medris nagazeh. Why would we have here Tumas Maga Medris. Since they only touched each other beneath the surface of the cloth, says Rabbi Yossi, Tumas should not be able to spread. Elo, what, says Rabbi Yossi, does the Mishnah mean? Shenaga Bazov. We're referring to a situation that you had a piece of material. First, the Zav touched that piece of material. And since the Zav touched that piece of material, it got Tumas Maga Zav. And then after the Zav laid on the material, so got Tumas Medris, or stood on it, and it got Tumas Medris. And now, afterwards, the Tumas Medris goes away, because it's no longer the proper dimensions. Now, says Rabbi Yossi, then and only then does the Tumas Maga Zav remain. Our Mishnah seems to be teaching us, says the Gemara, that the Aver that's touching the Uber, even though it's touching it only based on Storim, it's not a visible touching, it's touching from under the skin, still has the ability to give off Tuma. It may be Tumas Nevela, it may be Tumas Trefa, but it gives off Tuma, says the Gemara, Lagat Melo. Have we not explained our Mishnah? Ula, Lo Shana El Shlosha Shlosha Shom Nechot. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir are arguing the following case. That we started with a piece of material that was 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim that was divided in two, and each piece therefore is no longer the proper size for Tumas Medris. In that case, the only contact that happened was that the only reason became Tumas Medris before the division. What happened was, that's when they argue. Where Rameya says, there still will be Tumas Maga, because Rameya holds Tumas Beis Storim is Metame, and Biyosi holds Tumas Beis Storim is not Metame. But what will be the halacha, says the Gemara? Sholosh Hashos Habos Mebeir Godel. That means, first we had a large piece of material that had on it Tumas Medris. And then we tear off from it a small piece of material that b'shas prishosin mi'aviyem mekabos tumas mi'aviyem. That when one piece of material is cut from another piece, the piece that's cut off touches the edge of the source piece before it's completely removed. So, if when we're cutting off this smaller piece from the larger piece still measures 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim or more, everybody agrees that the small piece, even Rabbi Yossi, who holds that Tumas Beis Storim is not Metame, will hear that Tumah is spread, because the Tumah and the contact happens between the small piece touching the large piece. Says the Gemara, when our Mishnah says that the Aver becomes Tameh from the Uber, the Aver gives Tumah to the Uber, it's not that the Aver gives Tumah to the Uber while they're still connected. What our Mishnah means that the Aver gives Tumah to the Uber, the Shas Prishasim Aver, the Kabbal Tumah me Aver. That, when they're separated, just like the small piece, when it's separated from the big piece, at that moment it's Mekabel Tumah from the big piece, even according to Rabbi Yossi, so to an Am Mishnah, where the Aver is separated from the rest of the Uber, that's when the Aver, then and only then, everybody agrees, will that Aver give Tumah to the rest of the Uber. This Machloikas from Meir and Rabbi Yossi, is it Tumas Nevela or is it Tumas Trefa?